Tomorrow is Memorial Day, 2022. It's fitting that we should honor those who have died so that we might enjoy the liberties that we take for granted. We take liberty for granted. I enjoy being free. Freedom and liberty have responsibilities, but there are many who have sacrificed and given their lives so we can enjoy what we have today, and this is a day where we remember what they've done. We take liberties for granted both socially and spiritually. We enjoy liberties both as an American and as a Christian. Let's look at three areas of appreciation and those people that provided the freedom and liberty that we have, or the groups to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. We owe a debt of gratitude. I was talking in Sunday school this morning. We live in a very selfish generation. I have a selfish streak that starts at the top of my head and goes down past the bottom of my feet. I constantly have to fight that. We put a new word in our vocabulary, a selfie, right? I mean, we're all very selfish. We think about ourselves and how we can get ahead. And I understand that to a point, but we've taken it to a fault and we stop. I'm going to preach a message here pretty soon. Look not every man on the things of his own, but also on the things of others. And we need to think about others. But we think about the liberties that we have as an American, as a Christian, and who has given us those liberties. First of all, let's look at this thought. Those who have died for our freedom. Those who have died for our freedom. The freedom that we enjoy as Americans. You know, America is a unique country, different than any other country in the world. America is a country that was founded on the Bible. And we make no apologies for that. But it's a unique country, and each generation of Americans have sacrificed to secure for their posterity a free nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That's so important that we uphold that. Not a perfect nation, but a nation founded upon the Bible. Not a perfect nation, but a nation with a bright future and opportunities in America to be anything that you can dream of. Person can come to America with no money and just the clothes on their back, and you've met them and I've met them, and it's encouraging to hear how they work hard and they save their money and they buy the things that they could never afford in their own country and they get ahead. My next door neighbor came from another country, from a communist country, and we were just talking the other day, and he was telling me about his relative. It's just so close of a relative. And he said, you know, in my country, she worked for, $300 a year? I mean, if I told you the job, it'd be like, that's a major big time job, right? Everybody would love to have that as a career. $300, I think it was a year. Maybe it was a month. Is it a year? It was like brutal. I'm like, what? And now he owns this like nice house and, you know, bought his dad a brand new truck for his dad's birthday. I said, son, come here, get a load of this. Look what he just bought his dad. I got a brand new Chevy truck, right? He goes, well, hey, how are you doing? Right, with his accent. I'm like, hey, I got invited to the party, to the, immigration and naturalization party, right? He brought up some American stuff. He was just so happy to be here. Came with nothing. And now, whatever they want, they can work hard and they can buy it. It's incredible. You know, we complain all the time, but we're spoiled. I like being spoiled. We are the most spoiled country on the face of the earth. Be careful. But we have freedoms and opportunities to be anything you can dream to be. That sacrifice began less than 50 miles from where we sit with what we call the shot heard round the world at Lexington and Concord Greens in Massachusetts. The sacrifice continued on Bunker Hill, where the man who gave us the slogan on our flag, on our license plate, live free or die, John Stark, whose statue's right over here at City Hall with a sword. They'll probably put a Nerf sword in his hand someday. It's not politically correct, but I just love that. Live free or die, death is not the worst of evils. At Valley Forge, where Washington and his army had bloody feet marching in the snow, defeating the British. In 1812, at Fort Sumter, in Baltimore Harbor, a captive young lawyer named Francis Scott Key penned the words to our famous national anthem. And by the way, we stand for our national anthem. Anybody who sits for the national anthem or folds their hands, they're a punk. Listen, I had a lot of NFL stuff. I got rid of all of it. So you know what? They want to be a punk. I don't care if I have the jersey that makes $1 million. Throw it away. Get rid of it. You want to be a punk and disrespect my flag? I got more love for a flag than I do for a bunch of spoiled millionaires. We stand for the flag. We salute the flag. We put our hand over our heart. Why? Because we love our country. I stood there at Baltimore Harbor, at the battlements, and I wonder what it was like on that day for Francis Scott Key. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light. We've been to the Museum of American History in Washington, D.C., where they have that same flag, and they keep it behind a door, and they open it up just a few times a day. Anybody ever see that? It's incredible. It's not in really good shape, but they have special lighting on it, and they raise that up, and you can see that flag. It's very emotional. In the 1860s, our nation was divided against itself and nearly torn apart over the evils and the wickedness of slavery. Men fought and men died for our freedom. So many battlefields, so much history. Chickamauga, Spotsville courthouse battle, the Battle of the Wilderness, Chancellorsville, Shiloh, Antietam, I've been to Gettysburg twice. Manassas, Bull Run, Lookout Mountain, Fredericksburg, Vicksburg, to name just a few. 622,000 Americans died in the Civil War, and that is a conservative estimate. Some say it could be as many as 850,000. Every casualty was an American. Brother Les, at one battle, so many Americans died, it was almost the amount of the entire Vietnam War casualty, which you are a veteran. And I thought, that is so horrible. At one battle, almost 50,000 men died, all Americans. Our president was gunned down by an assassin because of Lincoln's belief that freedom is a consecrated right given by Almighty God. You should read Lincoln's speeches. They're powerful. We know so little about history. Listen, when I went to school, I took social studies. Yeah, I was like, what's that? Didn't learn history very much. In the Great War, World War I, we were compelled to fight the forces of evil who sought for world domination and to oppress innocent peoples. It's very distinguished. Our doughboys stormed across the ocean with their Springfield rifles and their bayonets to die for our precious freedoms. They faced trenches, trench warfare, mustard gas. In World War II, the forces of Nazi Germany, Imperial Japan, and Italy threatened to extinguish the fragile flame of freedom. Americans sacrificed the sneak attack at Pearl Harbor. In New Guinea, in the Philippines, Corregidor, Bataan, the death march where so many died. Leyte Gulf, in Africa, so many of the forgotten soldiers in Africa, Libya, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia. I read about an ace from World War II who just died, I believe it was this week, and he was in Africa in that forgotten theater fighting for our freedoms. In submarines, in battleships, on destroyers, aircraft carriers, surveillance planes, half-tracks, tanks, armored personnel carriers, in foxholes, machine guns, PT boats, jeeps, Corsairs, Mustangs, Thunderbolts, bombers, and in parachutes. They fought for our freedom. In the jungles of the East, in the deserts of the Dark Continent, in the islands of the Pacific, Guam, Midway, Okinawa, Iwo Jima, Wake, and Tokyo. The forests of Germany, Luxembourg, and Belgium, the Battle of the Bulge, and so many others. In the fields of France, where many are still buried, in the cities and the villages, the skies over London, on the sandy beaches of Utah, Normandy, and Omaha. I'd encourage you to read history. Read about those who have sacrificed. They fought for duty, honor, and country. To secure our freedom for the present generation. They fought for our freedom opposed by the godless, atheistic onslaught of communism. They fought by shedding their blood in Korea and again in Vietnam to fight against communism. I remember President Nixon when I was a boy, and I'd see him on a TV, and I didn't really know what he was talking about much, but he had a colorful way of saying it. And I remember President Nixon coming on and talking about all the different things that were going on in Vietnam. And I remember one day, one of our POWs came home. His name was Marty Nguyen's, and Dad, you think knew him personally. He was shot down over Vietnam, and he was a prisoner of war. And he came home, and they gave him a parade in our hometown, well, my dad's hometown in Aurora. They gave him a parade, and he was on the back of a red Cadillac. I can remember my mom took me in, and there he was. It was in the 70s, and we had little American flags, and we were waving the flags and appreciating the fact that Marty Nguyen's was back home again in America. Once again, the brave soldiers of America took up arms and went halfway around the globe after 9/11 to secure America's freedom for tomorrow, to confront the radical kamikazes of the 21st century Islamists in Iraq and Afghanistan. May God be with those families who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Many of you know them. Many of you served with them. It is not in vain. One day I was sitting in the office of our previous building over here on Beach Street many, many years ago. And I heard a fire truck go by and police cars went by, and then a lot of commotion was happening outside. And so I walked out, and it was 2006. I looked down the street on Beach Street, and there was a big flag with a fire truck over Central High School. How many of you went to Central High School? Okay, a lot of you. There was a big flag over Central High School and a hook and ladder, and they blocked off Beach Street. And I said, I got to find out what's going on. Motorcycles were coming down the street, and men dressed in uniform for every branch of service, the honor guards at funerals. And there was a funeral at the church down the street from where we were. And so I walked down there. And sure enough, the honor guard was outside, and we went inside the church, and there was a coffin, the flag over it. A young man, Corporal Lance Corporal Ryan, 19 years old. He died on November 7th, 2006, in the Anbar province of Iraq. I was there for his funeral, and the mayor was there. Representative Ginta was there. A lot of people from the city were there, and I just sat, and I tried to absorb what the family was going through. I went back to my office, and I penned down these words I'm going to read to you. I called it A Boy I Never Met, 19 years old. He was a Marine. Today I went to see a boy I had not met, a boy I owed some gratitude, a boy I owed a debt, a boy who isn't half my age, yet a boy whom I respect. This youth has answered duty's call, my family to protect. I went to see a boy today. Others had come too. The mayor of our town is here, and a dozen dressed in blue. Today I'll get to meet his folks, his mother and his dad, his brother and his sister. But they all look so sad. I went to see a boy today. The street is lined with men who uniforms of combat wore. They put them on again. They too have come to see a boy. a boy they never met. This boy who made his country proud, a boy we can't forget. This boy I went to see today, his face I could not see. Instead, a box was holding him. A flag looked back at me. I went to see a boy today, but found this boy did die. I went, indeed, and saw a man. Farewell. And Semper Fi. And there are so many people who have given their lives. I got a notification on my phone this week of several years ago, 6, 8, 10 years ago. We went to Arlington National Cemetery. We saw the thousands of white crosses. And my son had a picture taken. I took his picture next to Audie Murphy's grave. The most decorated combat veteran in American history. A hero. You know, we need heroes today. We need heroes today. Just because you can shoot a ball doesn't make you a hero. Just because you can hit a ball or throw a ball or do some contortion or be on TikTok, you are not a hero. Those who are under the ground and give their lives for our country, those are heroes. We ought to learn more about them. The first group, those who have given their lives for our freedom that we enjoy as Americans, don't ever forget them. There's a second group, those who have died to secure our faith. We read the text here in Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter number 12. We find that they started when Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, that godly deacon who preached the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Because of his preaching, he was hated and he was stoned. And Saul of Tarsus held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death, calling on the Lord and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He helped secure our faith. He helped secure Saul of Tarsus' faith. I don't believe Saul of Tarsus could get over what he witnessed that day. And when the Lord called him on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And blinded him. He said, who art thou, Lord? Book of Corinthians says, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And that's where Saul was converted. But I think he couldn't get that picture of Stephen out of his mind and ended up followed in Stephen's footsteps as a martyr. Our text here in Hebrews chapter number 11, it talks about those who were persecuted for their faith in Christ. You know, we know little about persecution, and I'm glad about that. But when persecution comes, if persecution comes in your lifetime, and it very well may, you need a strong faith. The Bible talks about these who were sawn asunder, verse 37. Isaiah, we're told, was sawn in half by a saw because of his faith in God. They were stoned. They were slain with the sword like James. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts, verse 38, in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. See, when a man was caught as a Christian, the inference here of a sheepskin and a goatskin, it isn't a new coat that they wore, it was a straitjacket. They'd put a straitjacket made out of the skin of a freshly butchered sheep or a goat, and they would tie it in the back. They would put their arms next to their body, tied in the back. They would turn them loose in the desert. A sheepskin or a goatskin would start shrinking with the heat and the sun. And here they are in the desert. They can't use their arms. And it's constricting at a rapid rate. And there's nothing to eat and there's nothing to drink. And they would starve to death. And if you were caught feeding them or giving them water, then your punishment was a sheepskin or a goatskin. And you would die the same way. Can you imagine? This is what people went through to give us the faith that we have. Do we appreciate the faith that we've been given? The Bible says Verse number 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The idea is a relay race. If you've ever run in a relay race, as some of us have, your race is not over when your lap is run. Your race is over when the fourth person runs their lap. You take that baton and you run. You hand it to the second person. They're standing like this waiting for it, and they run. That first person is not just disengaged. Oh, wow, I think I'm going to go get some popcorn. Time to get a hamburger. And no, they're watching you run because their first place is tied up in how well you do. They want you to run well. They want you to finish strong. They want you to win. And you want them to win. So you're running that race. They without us should not be made perfect. A complete idea. Guess what? We've been given a baton, haven't we? Someone handed you a baton. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. That baton was handed from Stephen to Paul. Paul handed that baton to Timothy and Titus. And Paul handed that baton to those who would follow him. And they handed that baton to you. The apostles gave it to the next generation. You've received it from someone. You have that faith. One Lord, one faith. One baptism. I have that faith. My responsibility is to hand that to the next generation and say, okay, this is the faith once delivered unto the saints. I have the baton. It's my lap. I want to give it to you in good shape. I want to have run my race well. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who do you think that is? The people who have run. I'll go so far as to say the people who have run the first three laps because I think we're in the last one. The people have run the first three laps. They're cheering and they're going, yes, run well. Hey, don't get distracted in your race. Don't look around at the crowd. Hey, look at how you're doing over there. Look over there. Hey, don't look at the other runners. Just look at the finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, I've got my baton. I've got that faith. It's been once delivered. It's been handed down. It's been given to me. Woe it be unto me to trip and fall. Woe be unto me to turn around and run the wrong way. We've been given a great faith. Are you running the race with patience? Look what else it says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, so many times in modern day Christianity, we're very petulant. We're very childish because we ask the question like a child, what's wrong with that? Right? What's wrong with that? Instead, we ought to say, what's right with it? I had to qualify something by saying, okay, is it right? Does it pass the test, the Philippians 4, verse number 8? Is it, can I do it to the glory of God? Is it right? Is it virtuous? The second group died to secure our faith. The faith of Christianity did not come to you and me without a price. It came with a great price. Just as the freedoms of America cost lives. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 12 and 13, it talks about Pergamos. It talks about Antipas, my faithful martyr who died for the cause of Christ. Revelation 17 verse number 6 says it will happen again in the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look back there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. They would sick the wild animals on the Christians. Much like in the Roman Colosseum, where their sporting events devolved into killing Christians for pleasure. The faith of Christianity did not come to you without a price. John had a disciple named Polycarp. Polycarp, when he was an old man, put a price on his head for preaching the gospel. They found where he was staying at a farm. They went to collect the bounty. Polycarp was put under arrest. And they said, Polycarp, we're going to bring you to prison. You're going to be executed. He said, the only thing I ask is 1 hour unmolested to pray. He went upstairs in that farm and he prayed for 1 hour. And then he volunteered himself to be taken away. They put him at the stake, Brother Jeff. And they went to burn him. And they said, renounce your Savior. And he said, 86 years have I served him. And he hath done me no wrong. How can I renounce my Lord and my Savior? And they burned him to death. For what? For preaching the gospel. For believing in Christ like you believe in Christ. A great price has come with our Bible and with our faith. Wycliffe, John Huss, Hugh Latimer, and Ridley died a martyr's death to give us our faith. We sing the song, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Are you willing to bear the price for your faith? Sometimes we want to be an undercover Christian, right? I don't want anybody to know that I'm a Christian. I'm just going to be undercover. Hey, it's time to be out in the light. Listen, the world is not getting better. And the Bible says it would happen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What are we supposed to do? Hide under a rock? No. We're supposed to go out and preach the gospel, tell people about Christ, and live a godly, righteous life. That's what we're supposed to do in this present evil world. So do it. There's a third person we must acknowledge. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Those who have died to secure our freedom, a group of people, individuals in that group, those who have died to secure our faith. The third person we must acknowledge is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. The one who died for our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of Memorial Day, remembering those who died for our freedom. As we think of Memorial Day, remembering those who have died for our faith. To forget to honor our Savior would be as foolish as Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, verse 4, saying, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. It would be as foolish as Peter saying, look, let's make two tabernacles. Let's make one for Moses and one for Elias, and, well, we won't make one for Jesus. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? Sure would, Christian. In God we trust is stamped on our currency. Now, I don't want to get into a conspiracy, but I had a friend who posted something yesterday. He said, why is in God we trust on the back of the face of the quarter when it used to be facing the face of the quarter? I don't know. Maybe they've been doing that for a few years, I guess. But maybe it's we've turned our back. It's interesting. I don't have a new quarter. I haven't gotten a quarter for a while, so I haven't seen it. Now, regardless of that, the one who died for our sins. To forget to honor our Savior would be a great injustice. It is Jesus who provided the freedom and created the desire of the soul to yearn for freedom. Who gives us the desire to be free? Jesus Christ. The Son hath made you free, you shall be free indeed. To acknowledge the freedom and not acknowledge the Savior and God who made it possible would be remiss. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Take your Bibles and look at Psalm 22. Our Savior suffered for our sins. We're familiar with the suffering on the cross. Back in the Old Testament, in a Messianic Psalm, it gives us some details that this would happen. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's just what he said on the cross, isn't it? Verse number 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. It's talking about our Savior who died for our sins. Do you love him today? I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Prophecy of Calvary. Look at Psalm 129. 129, Christ died for our sins. Psalm 129. I look at verse number 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. It's talking about the scourging that our Lord received before he went to the cross. They took that whip and they dug it into his flesh and they pulled it out like you would plow a fresh field. Our Savior did that for you. Do you know him as your Savior? Do you appreciate that he saved you? What price could you put on salvation? I could not put a price on salvation. But what price did God put on salvation? He gave his only begotten Son. What love. Isaiah says much in chapter 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus was made an offering for our sin. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Christ bore our iniquities. Verse 12, therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Christ died for our sins. To acknowledge those who died for our faith and neglect the author and finisher of our faith, we must not. I want to thank three people this morning. Three memorials this morning. Number one, those who died for our freedom, that we may be here enjoying a freedom to worship God today, a freedom to come and go as we please today, a freedom to have ideas, a freedom to own property, a freedom to enjoy the American dream. Don't take it for granted. You go other places in the world. I went one place in the world I was never, I literally wanted to fall down and kiss the ground when I got home. Not a perfect nation, but boy, you go somewhere else and you'll understand what we have. Those who died for our faith. We read the chapter. It's very graphic. Yeah, it's right here in the Bible. People died so we could have this. People died so we could have Christ. Are we worthy of their sacrifice? I was talking to a man. I really didn't know the man, but yesterday I'd seen him many, many times. We had chatted a little bit, but he came up and he said, Pastor, he said, did you notice that churches are preaching the social gospel and not the gospel of Jesus Christ? I said, yeah, I've noticed. He said, did you notice that it's so much politics and just wishy-washy, and there's godlessness in our churches? I said, I've noticed that. And it's not getting better. But you know what? Light shines in a dark place, doesn't it? So be bright. Pierce the darkness. And Jesus, who died for our sins. Let's pray. Father, we